Well, welcome to everybody. We've been doing a series on faith for the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to continue with a message this week called True Growth. 2 weeks ago, I spoke a message called True Faith, and last week, I spoke a message called Your Faith, and the fact that we must realize that you must operate your faith. It's no good keep looking towards Jesus or looking towards the Father in heaven when you realize that your faith is essential. He said to the woman of the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. He said to blind Bartimaeus, your faith has healed you. And many times he communicates to people, it's your faith. So it's essential for us to realize that the difference between hope and faith is simply this. Hope is knowing God can do it. Faith is knowing God will do it. Hope is knowing God can do it. Oh, I know God can heal me. Oh, I know God can provide for me. I know God can reconcile my marriage. I know God can save my children. But faith is knowing He will do it. That's a huge difference. It's a big difference. So that's why the Bible talks about faith being the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, the proof of things not seen. So I want to encourage you to keep looking and pursuing on the subject of faith. It doesn't matter how great God is, if you don't believe it personally, it won't help you one bit. Remember, the Bible does speak about people that, will the promises of God be of no effect because of your unbelief? No, certainly not. The promises of God are yes and amen to the entire world. But if you don't believe it, what's the good of it? Do you ever imagine going to a we take so for granted our modern culture. Can you imagine taking a microwave to the Amazon or somewhere, and of course you'd have to have a generator to power it, I understand that, but, and then say, do you know that if you put this food in there and press that button, in 1 minute later it'll be piping hot, and they'll go, yeah, right, sure. Get the sticks. You know what I'm saying? And this is what it's like, and faith is like that. The promise of God is what your faith is based on. But if you don't know the promise of God, then how can you apply your faith to something you don't know about? I'm going to start by a story I've told many times, but I kind of like it because I made it up. And so it's a story of I don't want to sound rude, but down in the Bowery, have you ever been down to the Bowery in Manhattan? There's some bag ladies down there. Have you ever noticed that? You know, those poor ladies are down there homeless. So this is how the story goes. It's a great story because I made it up. And so she's sitting there one day at the side of the road, and this limousine pulls up, and this guy gets out with his $1,500 suit, and he says, is your name Mary Jones? She goes, what if it is? Said, oh, I was just your Uncle Jaime's lawyer, and your Uncle Jaime's died. Oh, that skinflint Uncle Jaime never did nothing for me. Well, he's done something for you. He's left you his will. And the lawyer gives her this pile of papers. And so she's sitting on the side of the road here, homeless, hungry, poorly clothed, with a pile of papers. And so she's sitting there going, yeah, typical skinflint. All the money he had, and this is all he left me. So she's got nothing better to do, so she starts opening the papers. She's in, here, corner of this, he used to own a deli just up the road here. Right, so she grabs the papers and she goes up the road and she walks in the deli. She says, oi, you lot, this place used to belong to my Uncle Jaime. Well, he's dead. It's mine now. Feed me. And they come over and they look at the papers, go, she's right, she's the boss. Great guys, come on. And they put her at the best table and they serve her and they just bring the food. She's thinking, this isn't it cool? Guess what she's doing while she's eating? She's reading the papers. Whoa, look at this. She shuts the papers. She runs up to Fifth Avenue. She goes in one of the stores. She says, oi, guess what? This store used to belong to my Uncle Jaime. He's dead. It's now mine. Clothe me. And they come up, look at this ragged woman, and they look at the papers, go, She's the boss, come on. And they measure her up and she's top everything, hat, gloves, the whole lot, the whole 9.5 yards. And she looks so awesome. But while they're fitting her, she's got one eye on the papers. She's reading the papers. What? He had a penthouse up by Central Park. Right, she's out the door. And so she's up Central Park, knocks on the door. Oi, you, big head. This place used to belong to my Aunt Carmy. He's dead. It's now mine. He looks at the papers. Yes, madam. And he takes her up in the elevator. And now she is no longer hungry, no longer poorly clothed, and no longer homeless. Why? You may say because of Uncle Jaime. The answer is she read the papers. So until we learn to read the papers, it doesn't matter that the fact someone far greater and far richer than Uncle Jaime left us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But if you don't read the papers, you're going to be homeless, poorly clothed, and hungry. Is that plain enough? Okay, let's start a picnic. Okay, no. Maybe I'll say something else, I don't know. But now I've gone and blown my computer. Come back to life, please. Cliff, where are you when I need you? Would you believe it? Would you, Adam and Eve? Things just went, came back to life. Praise God. Okay, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Somebody say Mark chapter 4. Praise hallelujah. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the sower, who here has heard of the parable of the sower? Please raise your hands. Some of us, most of us, a lot of us. Okay. Praise God. How are we doing? Good to see you. The parable of the sower, in my opinion, or I think in the Bible's opinion, is the most important parable in the Bible. And you'll see why in a minute. How many times have you read the parable of the sower and went, that parable's up? How many times have you read the story of the Good Samaritan and said, Good Samaritan? How many times have you read the story of the prodigal son? Go, prodigal son. In fact, I noticed that when I read through the Bible and I hit pieces of scripture that are so familiar, I actually jump over it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Give yourself a little slap. Naughty, right. Well, I'm saying that because sometimes the most important realities of the kingdom of God are in the basic scriptures that so many of us got at Bible school or, you know, that we don't bother with them anymore. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and don't think I'm picking on sometimes things are so obvious, yet for some reason we avoid them. Now, take a cigarette packet, for instance. I'm not picking on the smokers, but I can't think of a better example right now. You read on the side of it, it says, government warning. What's the name? You've read him. Right. Surgeon General says, do yourself a favor. Don't spend $5 for these. And then stick them down your throat. It really ain't a very good idea. Just because Sir Walter Riley thought it was a good idea, don't believe it. Does it say that on the side? Well, it might do in England, except in England they don't do that anymore. This is an English packet of Benson and Hedges. They're far more subtle. It just says, smoking kills. Can you read it? Right there on the packet. Isn't that a class act, the English, so subtle? Smoking kills. So we buy the cigarettes and go, kills what? Mosquitoes? Maybe it kills a bacteria in my mouth. Smoking kills. I wonder what it kills. You know, and it's amazing how sometimes the obvious, we've read it 1,000 times and we've missed it. I won't tell you what it says on the back. Who wants to read? Who's got a big mouth other than me? Sheldon, you feel like being loud?
Absolutely.
Read the back of that, mate.
Smoking can cause a slow and painful death.
Is it true? Witness? I mean, like, is there any part of that you don't understand? Really? It's a bit like sitting in church and the preacher's preaching the message for the guy next to you. Oh, man, I wish my spouse was here today. They need to hear this. I'm talking to you. Smoking can cause a slow and painful death. Mate, I must tell my brother that. Man, he needs to hear that. You get my drift? I don't want to read that one. Anyway. So I'm saying that because many times when we read the Bible, we read it with a yawn. We read it unattentively. I'll tell you what going to church is like. Going to church, if they've ever played any sport, going to church is a bit like training. It's like being coached. It isn't the game. This isn't the game. Did I ever tell you about my limited boxing experience? Let me just tell you, give you an idea to build this up. I used to really love the training for boxing. I just liked the kind of training. The medicine ball, they pound it on your stomach. You know, my stomach's still fat, but it's really strong. And, you know, and I used to love all the skipping and everything else. And I just really enjoyed sparring with my Mickey Jones. You know, we used to spar a lot. And I just used to enjoy it. Except Mr. Moran. God, mate. Have you ever met people who instinctively have really got something? And this is what I want you to get this, because when you understand the kingdom of God, until it becomes instinctive, you don't have it. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, when somebody treads on your foot, what comes out of your mouth? You see, am I getting too close to your corns this morning? You see what I'm saying? When somebody treads on you, and you go, "What, you dummy?" Then you bunch the heart, the mouth speaks. You haven't quite got it. Maybe you should read it a bit more. So this guy, his name was, what was his first name? I remember his name was Moran. It's this big Irishman. He was a great guy. Gentle, I mean, he used to dig roads for a living. He was as tough as all. And I remember, technically I was a better boxer than him. You know, I had a longer reach, so we'd spawn, boom, and I could just jab him in, and boom. But if I caught him and hurt him a little bit, he would go, Danny Moran. Danny would go, boom! Oh, God. And I'd either have to turn around or take a knee or something. It hit me so stupid hard. And we were sparring, you know. He hit me so hard. And every time he'd do the same thing. Oh, Pete Jesus, Vaughn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. But it was instinctive, you know. We're okay while we're playing, but once I caught him, bam! Oh, man, he hit. So he's actually one of the main reasons I quit boxing. I thought if my sparring partner hits me that hard, can you imagine when a guy who don't like me hits me? So anyway. So saying that to say this is that I loved the training, and then one day, my first fight, I got in the ring. And I was nervous, and I was 18, and skinny kind of kid, you know, and all that. And I remember that horrible sound. Seconds out, round one. What do you mean seconds out? Well, you mean I'm on my own in here? Well, where's Danny? He's in my... What do you mean? Where's Mick? What do you mean seconds out, round one? You see, what we've got to understand as followers of Jesus Christ is the truth of the gospel only works when you hear that. Seconds out, you're on your own. No pastor, no spouse, no worship team. You're on your own. The fight starts now. And there is a fight on, there is a war on. And so what I want to encourage you is, how equipped are you really? We know these scriptures, but when you're really under pressure, see, when you get the doctor's report, you're on your own. When you get the bills you can't pay, you're on your own. when you get the news of the death of a family member, you're on your own. Are you with me now? That's when you know whether you have faith or not. Are we okay? Now, in case you don't all know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. There's no other way. My testimony, and I've got a few stories and a few testimonies, will never, ever build your faith. Can we all please hear this morning? My testimonies, 22 years, I lived by faith without a salary, without an income, traveling the world with my wife and five children, and my beloved mother used to travel with us. By the way, Mum, stand up, being as you're leaving on Tuesday. Give one more wave to the crowd. That is my 92-year-old mother. We'll take most of you on and win with one arm tied behind my back. And scratching my back. She's got the greatest nails in the world. What am I going this morning? Help me, somebody. The essential of understanding faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. No other way. It doesn't come by my testimonies. It doesn't come by my stories. It doesn't come by what's happening somewhere else in the country or in the world. It comes by your relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the Word. So before we get into Mark 4, can we remember the scripture says, in the beginning, nothing precedes the word. If you like worship more than the word, sorry, you're wrong. If you like prayer more than the word, you're wrong. If you like serving people more than the word, you're wrong. Because in the beginning was the word. How do you know to pray except without the word? How do you know to praise except with the word? How do you know to give except the word? How do you know to serve except the word? How do you know to raise your kids except the word? How do you know to treat your spouse except the word? So until you get the word in your life individually, we can all be out on the field training for the big game, training for the Super Bowl, and if I'm doing my jumping jacks properly and you're going, trust me, when the game starts, you're not going to make it. So as your pastor this morning, I feel it essential for me to allow this warning to come. As the book of Colossians says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man and woman that we all may be perfect in Christ. So with that in mind, quite a preamble, Mark chapter 4 verse 3 says, if you need a Bible, there should be one in front of you in the chair. And if you need to take it home, you are welcome. If you don't have a Bible, please take that one home with you. Jesus begins. Listen. It's a good start. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened that he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Somebody say, yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Sprang up, increased, produced. Sprang up, increased, produced. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. This is true growth. True growth can only come from that seed. Do you remember in the book of Luke? It refers to Jesus when he went back to Nazareth. It said, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's say it again. Jesus grew. Whoa, what do you mean? Jesus grew? Wasn't he God? Yes. But he laid aside that majesty and lived on the earth as a man. So Jesus the man grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I need that. I need to grow. I need to grow, not this way, but in the inner man. I need to grow in the inner man. Unto him that is able to do, unto him that is able to do, exceedingly abundantly, we all know the verse, right? Above all you could ask or think. Stop. Don't stop. According to the power that works in us. It's your faith that makes you whole. It's your faith that makes you grow. It's your faith that brings God's promises to you. It's your faith when you read the papers and go to the restaurant and claim the prize. Are you with me? It's your faith that reads the papers and goes to the clothes store and reaps the prize. It's your faith. You understand what I'm saying? Don't sit there praying for God to do what he's already done and wants you to bring it to your life by your faith. Are we all staying with me here? We got this one, Gary? You're a good man, Gary. Don't let anybody tell you any different. This is true growth. This is true growth. So it's essential for us to get this. Okay, parable of the sower. Jesus closed that thought by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying, okay, guys, I'm sowing the seed. Whatever you do with it is up to you. John Wimber is the founder of the Vineyard. I don't know if you've all heard of him. John Wimber, he was very emphatic about this. He said, I am not going to spend my time motivating anybody. If the word can't motivate you, I can't. You understand what I'm saying? You remember the old Clouseau movie? Anybody like Inspector Clouseau? Remember Inspector? Hello, this is Chief Inspector Clouseau speaking on the telephone. Love that guy, but he was a crazy Englishman. Well, do you remember that time when he dressed up as a salty sailor? A Norwegian salty sailor. Did you see that one? And he had one leg. Remember that one, Cliff? He had a wooden leg. And he had that thing like Gracie was wearing on the... And he had a parrot on his shoulder, a plastic parrot. And he comes and he's going, I'm a Norwegian salty sailor. And then his parrot on his shoulder, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm supposed to be a preacher or something, I don't know. One of them days, just handle it, live with it. The parrot on his shoulder, which was plastic, suddenly went, psss, and he went, psss, psss, and he go. Well, I sometimes feel like that as the pastor. So I've got this pump under my arm that if I preach a good message, a few people go, psh. But then when they leave the church, they go, psh. Now, that was pretty funny, I must admit. Okay, here we go. As long as I don't start singing I'm Henry VIII, we'll be all right. Verse 13 says, are you there, verse 13? I've got Daniel on board, I feel safe. Do you understand this parable? This is Jesus speaking. Do you understand this parable? Smoking kills. Do you understand this parable? Because if you don't, Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, then how are you going to understand all the parables? So what Jesus is saying is this is the most important parable in the Bible. And if you can't understand it, wait for it, I'm making an emphatic statement, you will never understand the Bible. Because you won't have true faith. You'll have superstitious faith, you'll have traditional faith, you'll have religious faith, or whatever it is, which is no faith at all. So therefore, to have true faith, you must understand this. The sower sows the word. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. So Jesus has done his job. Are you with me here? Jesus has done his job. He's sown the word. Right? That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 somewhere, it says, I write these things down in a few words so that when you read them, you may understand my knowledge in the grace of God. Did you all get that? I write these things down in a few words so that when you read them, you may understand my knowledge in the grace of God. And I just want to say this, that once the sower has done his duty, as Jesus did, hung on the cross, said it's finished, and it says, unless a seed dies, goes into the ground and dies, Jesus is that seed, you read the book of Galatians, he goes into the, it says, it abides alone. But he did go into the ground, dead, and here we are. So he's done his job. Now we have to be the ones who say, Lord, I have ears to hear. How do you open your ears? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Are you with me now? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, Lord, what is the will of God for me? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of his word gives light and makes wise the simple. You see what I'm saying? See how important it is. How important it is for us to be people who love the word. Okay, where was I? Verse 15. And these are the ones where the wayside, the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately. Satan comes. A lot of people, they don't want to preach about Satan. They just want to hear the Jesus stuff. Tell me about Jesus. Okay, I'll tell you about Jesus. He has an enemy who hates him and you. So therefore, when Jesus comes, when the word comes, Satan comes. When the word comes, Satan comes. In the Garden of Eden. Right? The word came, Satan came. The word came, Satan came. What else? Abraham. Remember when Abraham was making a covenant with God? He laid out the covenant, the birds came. That's what he's talking about here. The birds come. The birds come. How about Father Abraham? He came back from battle with all the prize. He came back to Melchizedek, the king of righteousness. And he was blessed by Melchizedek. And who came? The king of Sodom. See? King of righteousness comes, the king of Sodom comes. As soon as the word comes, Satan comes. King David, it said, when the Philistines heard that he'd been anointed king over Israel, they immediately came up and attacked. Are you with me, folks? Do you understand the essential of realizing that Satan can steal the word out of your heart? Not just out of your head. Not so much fun as the beginning now, is it? Like the old psst. No? Okay. Sometimes it's essential. Where am I? Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Front row, that's enough. But they have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. They have no root in themselves. That we may be rooted and grounded in love, and that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. What is the depth? I'm not reading this. I'm quoting it. I'm trying to quote it. All right. So endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. The cares of this world. Can I put one word on the cares of this world? Worry. Worry is the single definition of the cares of this world. Anxiety, the Bible says, in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Isn't that a nice way to end that verse? A good what makes it glad? A good word. Where do I get that from? The sower sows the word. Are you with me here? To me, this is E equals MC squared. To me, this is like math. It's so logical. It's so logical, but so's that. But they still read and say, kills who? Are you with me? The essential of the word. Right. Spoil their appetite. That way you can eat more hot dogs. Picnic time. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Can I just say about the deceitfulness of riches? That is not talking about Bill Gates. That's not talking about Oprah Winfrey. That's not talking about Lindsay Lohan. It's not talking about Derek Jeter. It's not talking about them. It's talking about whoever thinks money is the answer to your problems. Did you all hear that? Teenagers, I personally speak to you. Good morning. Welcome. Money is not the answer to your problems. Trust me. You all thought, yeah, well, I think it is. Well, personally, I don't care what you think. Because I'm quoting the Bible. Beat that. The deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. Oh, yeah, 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 I don't want to go there. Entering choke the word and becomes unfruitful. Just to see if anybody's awake, could somebody say unfruitful? Right. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Okay? 30-fold, this is true growth. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I want to give you just one thing to take home with you this morning. And that is the DNA of the ground. Let me say this again. The ground is not God's responsibility, it's yours. The ground is not God's responsibility, it's ours. It's our responsibility. Read the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. What was that? Is Stacy up here? She gave me that verse earlier. It talks about breaking up the clods. You know, sometimes there's clods in our life, right? They need to be broken up. All right, this is what I'm going to tell you. The DNA of the ground. The DNA of the ground. First thing I'm going to say, I've got to try and wrap this up in 15 minutes. I'm going to have to talk a bit quicker. Here we go. Is above all else, you can have total confidence in the seed. Total confidence. The Bible says, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever, 1 Peter. And so knowing that I've been born again by that seed, I have confidence that that seed is going to feed me. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. So I have total confidence in the seed. Paul had so much confidence in the seed. He said to the church, he said, how you've obeyed in my presence, but much more in my absence. You mean, Paul, we'd do better off without you? Uh-huh. Because when you read my words, you can understand the grace, the knowledge I have. Are you with me here? Right? There's never going to be a letter from Paul's letter to the Kingstonians. So don't wait for another letter. Everything he's going to write, we wrote. Okay? But the end of that verse, where was I? Hallelujah. How you had confidence, he said, how you obeyed in my presence, but much more in my absence. You know what the next verse says? Therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are you with me here? It's no good blaming somebody else. I'm the coach. I never can understand when somebody drops the ball in the NFL, they fire the coach. What the heck's that all about? What is that about? You know, the guy dropped the ball and the coach gets fired. The coach didn't drop it. The coach doesn't have to do... Let's think about this. How much science is there in coaching? Catch the ball. What? How? Because if I have to tell you that, you're not going to catch the ball under pressure. You get my drift. And the coach stands on the line. Catch a ball, 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 catch a ball. Catch a ball, you dummy, you dropped it. And they fire the coach. And the wide receiver is laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, help me with that logic there. It's nobody's responsibility except ours. Individual. Right, here we go. Wrap this up, Vaughn. So, what is in the ground, the DNA? Somebody say DNA. Who here knows what that stands for? Somebody say it. Oh, let's hear it loud. Stand up and say it loud.
Diligence and attitude.
He was here last night. He's cheating. Thanks, bud. Give yourself a raise. Double what I pay you. Triple it. I'm feeling generous. What's three times nothing? Anyway, did you hear what he said? Diligence and attitude, which is why the Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Diligence and attitude. I don't care how good your pastor preaches or how bad your pastor preaches. The word of God, if it's being sown, is your responsibility, and it's your diligence and your attitude that makes you grow. Not me. I like that. Okay? Long-term success. Get the word in you. Get the word in you. Get the word in you. One story coming up, Acts chapter 17. We begin in verse 10. Young Daniel. Now, I'm going to read from the King James, although PM is the new King James. Acts 17, 10, talking about Paul. And it said, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who came thither. Isn't that a great word? Hello, I just come thither. They went into the synagogue of the Jews. Here we go. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Are you with me there? Okay, let me say this. Ooh, The book of James, chapter 1, I think verse 18 says this. With all meekness, what's meekness mean? Teachability. With all meekness, receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, your will, your emotions, your intellect. Right? So if your emotions are a mess, it's because you haven't got the engrafted word in them. So when somebody treads on your foot, something else comes out. Are we okay? James 1, 17 or 18. With all teachableness, receive the engrafted word. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Right? John 15, verse 7. So these things are so essential to understand. It's not enough to have a fleeting relationship with the word of God. It's like a leaf landing on you. It's no value. Until you have the engrafted word, you don't inherit. Popularity just went down. I don't know how many points. Okay, you're with me now. So what does it say? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They searched the scriptures daily. This is the only thing I'm leaving with you today. They searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what Vaughan's teaching on Sunday mornings is true. And if you don't think it is, please, my office is open. Come and sit with me. We'll discuss this for hours. Okay, let's jump now to verse 18. I like this part. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Don't you like that word, Stoic philosophers? encountered him and said, "Oh, what does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him from Areopagus, saying, okay, let's move on. What verse do I want? Verse 21. 21, Daniel. "For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Doesn't that sometimes sound a bit like the way our culture's become? That as a culture, we always want some new thing. That, you know, we're so faddish. We're so glad to hear some latest thing that's coming up. It's so interesting. The late, you know what? Do you know? I believe I got a word from the Lord this morning. I heard it from one of the leaders of this church. Do you know what they said? They said, Do you know what we need in the Northeast? We need solid churches. And when he said it, it hit my spirit so hard that I just got an email this week, and I'll be honest with you, it was great. It was 7 ways to get church hoppers not to stay in your church. You ever heard such a thing? I read it. I liked it. See, in the Hudson Valley, we call it driftwood. Driftwood. Because there's no root in themselves. There's no stability. There's no getting through the problems in life. First time there's an offense, you know, this has to stop. And I'm choosing this day to pronounce it and proclaim it. Guys, this valley needs strong churches that believe in the next generation, that still love the current generation, that still love the gray-haired old folk. We need to see the church of God built solid, solid, solid upon the word of God, so that we are all rooted and grounded in love, and we will see a move of God come out of the word, not out of our emotions. That's what we need. And that's what I'm going for. As the pastor of this church, I'm telling you, that's what I'm going for. And I want to see a move of God come out of his word. So there you go. We have the choice of being a Berean or an Athenian. The Athenians, of course, were Greeks. And what does Jesus say about the Greeks? So the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom from above. And where does nearly all the philosophy of the modern Western world come from? Greek philosophers. So they've got this Stoic, Epicurean approach to the philosophy of life, which contradicts the Berean attitude, which is the sower sows the word, and every day, somebody say every day. Every day I'm going to study these scriptures to see if it's true. And that's the thought I want to leave with all of you. I want to leave that thought with you saying, okay, guys and girls, let's talk about the elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room, and it's called the future of America. And the future of America is not very sure at this juncture in time. Would anybody agree with me? So therefore, let's discuss the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is the fruit of modern philosophy. It is the fruit of Athenian thinking, and we want to shoot the elephant. And we need the word of God deeply rooted in each one of our lives. And if you have the excuse that you can't remember scriptures, by faith we understand. By faith we understand.